Today marks the annual Miller vacation. We say vacation by name only. We all know that Rob's going to continue to work, right, during these next few weeks. But he won't preach for the next few weeks. So myself and a few of the other men around the congregation are going to do our best to fill in his stead. And I know that I speak for everybody when I hope that he and Lynn actually get some rest during this well-deserved break. I'm looking around. I don't see any visitors, but I always miss them. If you are visiting, we're so glad that you chose to worship with the Gardner Lane Church of Christ. My name is Jason Douglas. I am 43 years old. That makes me part of the Generation X generation. Gen X. So, believe it or not, the Gen X folks also grew up without the internet. I think I was a senior in high school before I saw my first website. I can vividly remember a college professor. He said, by show of hands, raise your hand if you've ever purchased anything online. I looked around like, is this guy crazy? Like, who would submit their banking info online? Who would buy anything sight unseen without touching it? Our generation grew up without the internet, but we also molded, we also created the internet that you all love today. You're very welcome. I love the internet. I find it useful. It's a gateway to knowledge. This, smartphones, on the other hand, not so much. To me, they're a burden. The ball and chain. Every single time that this thing chirps, it's somebody who wants something from me, you know. But I recognize that is just the old man kind of creeping in. The internet I like. There's too much information that's accessible on the internet. I have found an interest in analytics all of a sudden. I wouldn't have had this interest without the internet. Analytics. It sounds boring. It's statistics. It's machine learning. It is identifying patterns of data and behavior, and then making application with it. It sounds boring. Let me see if I can find a few examples for you. So if you're like me and you haven't been in the classroom for a very, very long time, this going across here is the x-axis, okay? In this example, that's the age. The y-axis runs up and down, that's vertical. That shows the hours per day. So we're gonna look at a few charts here real quick. Bear with me. This is how we spend our time, okay? So this is family time. Obviously, as you're younger, you have a lot of time that you spend with your family. But if you notice here, about age 19 or so, that drops off considerably. So you got a lot of time with your parents and siblings at a younger age, but as you get older, that time goes down. What about your friends? Same pattern here. I'm getting out of the way. Same pattern here. Spend a lot of time with your friends in your youth, but you'll notice at about age 20 or so, that too drops considerably. Here's the chart that scares Lynette a little bit. Time with your spouse. You notice, unlike the other two, the older that you get, you end up spending more time with your spouse as the years go by. Coworkers. There's like little mountain peaks you kind of see there toward the middle of the graph. That's ages 20 to 60. This is a little bit depressing. Depending on the career that you choose, some folks spend more time with their coworkers than anybody else. And then finally, alone time. As you get older, you find that you spend more time with yourself. You don't have a lot of alone time when you're younger, but as you're older, you do. All this information comes from the American Time Use Survey, Our World in Data. So again, analytics, we take everything that we've learned and we make applications. So cherish your family time. I'm trying, I really am. Prioritize your true friends. Be careful about who you choose as a spouse. You don't spend a lot of time with them. Consider the career that you might choose, the coworkers that you're going to work with, Learn to love yourself. As you see, you'll have a lot of alone time in your future. This is great data, but the data is incomplete. This data focuses on the time that we spend here. And as Christians, we know that how we spend our time here dictates how we spend our time there. They're after death. And really, that's what we're going to look at for just a few moments this morning. How are we using the time that God has allotted, the time that he's given to us? Specifically, what progress have you made? Have you made any progress as a Christian? This is always a good time of the year, I think, to self-evaluate. How'd you do in 2022? Are you making any progress? If you like, you can turn over to 1 Timothy 4. That's our main text for this morning. I have created a lesson out of three verses. We've got a few other scriptures too. But 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 through 16. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. I think most of the charts behind me are also in the ESV. Let's get started. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, beginning. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, and this is 1 Timothy chapter 4. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the Apostle Paul's instruction for young Timothy. Until Paul was able to join him, Paul gave Timothy some advice, or better yet, some instructions. He wanted his progress to be evident, to be seen by all. He wanted Timothy to immerse himself in Scripture. Why? To save himself and to those who heard him. Okay, so now it's our turn. We're not waiting for the Apostle Paul. We are waiting on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we too want our progress to be evident to all. We too want to immerse ourselves in God's word so that it will save us, so that it will save those near to us. I obeyed the gospel at the age of 17 years old, and I believe it was the same summer, that very summer, that I came to school here at U of L and placed membership at the Garden Lane Church of Christ. I was here for several years, and then I brought back a family with me, and Autumn, who is sick this morning. Autumn is now 17 years old, which is crazy for me to say out loud, but here we are. Okay, so that means that I know at very minimum, the Douglas family has worshiped with the Garden Lane Saints for at least 17 years. Okay, so let's use that number. Let's use 17 years. There are 886 weeks in 17 years. A little over. That means if I attended every Sunday service, I have worshiped with the Gardner Lane Saints 886 times. It doesn't include Sunday evening. It doesn't include Wednesday. It doesn't include, we had a nice run where we meet on Fridays once a month. It doesn't include Friday night study. That's just Sunday morning worship. But I didn't make every service, okay? So I'm going to aggressively cut this by 10%. Okay? Now, I would argue that my attendance record is a little bit better than 90%, but I'm just trying to make a point here. Thank you for staying with me. That means at minimum, I have set aside 797 instances to worship and study God's word. If you are slightly older than I am, you can multiply that however you want. Now, by contrast, it takes 11 to 15 years to become a doctor. A real doctor, a save-your-life doctor, okay? 4 years undergrad, 4 years med school, 3 to 7 years in residency. That, my friends, is only 730 weeks. That means, in theory, I, Jason Douglas, I have spent more time with God's word than someone who studied to obtain a medical license. Analytics. What if your doctor couldn't draw your blood? I know nurses do it, but what if he couldn't or she couldn't? What if they couldn't take your blood pressure? Or they prescribed the wrong medication, or they misinterpreted lab results, or I don't know, they had a misdiagnosis of some kind. And you're thinking, yeah, Jason, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen a lot. But you might agree with me that a doctor who habitually did those things or didn't do those things would no longer be a doctor. What's your favorite scripture? Maybe you don't have a memory like Brother Shanks. Are there any scriptures that you can recite by heart? What's your favorite hymn? Maybe you can't compose and arrange music like Brother Phil or Brother Mark. Is there any hymn we sing that you can recite every single lyric to? What about the books of the Bible? We're just using elementary examples here. There's a microphone here. I can cut this on. I can walk down there and I can ask, I don't know, somebody who I know has been here more than 800 times. And if I said, hey, stand up for us and recite the books of the Bible, could you do it? How many tries would it take you? Just elementary examples. Have you made any progress as a Christian? I have worshiped here at least 800 times. What progress have we made as a Christian? Paul's first instruction to Timothy was to give attention to reading. That's what I'm doing this morning, okay? Public reading. It was a custom in the synagogue. It continued in the church. There's a lot of different examples. Bear with me. I'm pressed for time. I'll read this one. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth. He, of course, being Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue. And on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And I'm going to stop there. Again, I'm pressed for time. But if you remember this story, Jesus stands up. He's given Isaiah to read, and he ends up reading prophecy about himself, and then he goes to sit down. I just included that one because I thought it was cool. That's public reading. That's Paul's instruction to Timothy. In the Old Testament, in Psalm, it tells, on the law, we should meditate day and night. In our case, shouldn't we at least be reading the scriptures daily? At minimum. Paul instructs Timothy to give his attention to exhortation. I don't use that word that much, if at all. Exhortation, that just means to strongly encourage someone. To strongly encourage someone, is that how Christ would describe our ministry? Are we strongly encouraging others? How persuasive can we be when we tell someone, hey, watch this TV series. Go visit this place. Go eat at this restaurant. Louisville Pizza Week just concluded. Okay, the Douglas family ate nothing but pizza for an entire week. It was great. I think it's becoming my second favorite holiday. I can strongly encourage someone to go to a few restaurants. Is that where my exhortation stops? Is that the beginning and end of exhortation? Okay, so now's the time where you might think that I'm going to suggest that you do the same thing, but with God's word and with strangers. And I'm not saying that. Certainly think that's a good idea, but what if instead you pick someone that you knew who used to obey God's word, but now no longer does? That's what folks did for me personally. Is that not a good use of your time? Would Christ not be happy in that? Does that not show progress? Paul instructs Timothy to give attention to teaching. You get several examples of teaching, of course, in the scripture. I chose Titus chapter 2. If you can get there quickly, turn to Titus chapter 2. Should we read a few verses in Titus chapter 2? Titus chapter 2, verse 1 beginning. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Again, we often focus on what women can't do. Here's the scripture where it tells us that women should teach. Teach what? Love. Self-control, purity, kindness, so the word of God isn't condemned, so it isn't attacked. Is anyone really friends with all of their Facebook friends? I know there are quizzes about, you know, what book character you identify with, or what movie character you identify with, or animal or whatever. But what if you could send an open-ended quiz to people for them to describe you? How many quizzes would it take before words like loving, disciplined, pure, kind, how long would it take for those to come back? That's progress, progressing as a Christian, making good use of the time that God has given us. Verse 14 of the text. What else does Paul do? Paul tells Timothy not to neglect his gift. Whatever you do, don't neglect your gift. Here's what Paul says to the Romans about gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 beginning. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Do you know what your gift is? Do you not know what your gift is? If you don't, it's a pretty good list to start from. In fact, you've got six options here. Let's look at them really quick. Service. Christians are meant to serve. Christ was a servant. Everyone wants to be served. No one wants to serve. In a few minutes, you might go out to eat, and the waiter will come by and say, "Hey, what can I take off your table? What can I take off your plate?" When was the last time that you asked anyone that you cared about, "What can I do for you?" What can I take off your plate? That's service. Go through this dreadful cell phone. Go through those outbound calls. Be honest with yourself. In those outbound calls, were you asking for something? Or are you asking to do something for someone? Teaching, we just talked about teaching. We should teach love, self-control, purity, kindness, exhortation. Do people describe you as persuasive? Well, I tell you, she really can be persuasive when she wants to be. It's hard to tell that man no, right? That's great, but how can we use that gift to glorify God? Contribution. Do you have the means to contribute generously? Not just money, although money as well. I hope that if you have the means that you're contributing generously to the local work. But what about your time? What about your effort? All of these gifts are encompassed within contribution. Zeal, are you passionate about God's word? Mercy, do you find it easy to forgive other people? I'm not talking about letting people walk all over you. That's something different. I'm talking about someone who has wronged you and they've asked you to clean their slate. Do you find that easy to do? Not everybody does. Most people don't. That is a gift. Okay, so how can we use this to glorify God? There are a few more final instructions that Paul gives to Timothy. Let's look at them really quick, and then like Jesus, I'm going to sit down. The lesson will be yours. Back to our main text. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Depending on the version you're reading, it might say, Timothy, devote yourself to meditation. Right? Meditation, friends, is a holy practice. That's sanctioned by scriptures. I don't know how it happened. For some reason, it got perverted and presented as some kind of Hindu religion. It ain't. It's not. All meditation is focusing your mind on something and clearing your mind of everything else. Okay? So by that definition, if this morning, for the past 21 minutes, if you've thought of anything other than God's word, then you're meditating on something else other than God's word. That should scare you a little bit. If you go an entire day and you're focused on one thing and one thing only, guess what? You've meditated on that one thing. That should scare you a little bit. In this case, Paul's instruction was to meditate on God's word. How can we do that? Well, you got to read the Bible. Read the scripture daily, at least. Designate several times a day to pray. Rob has recently talked about these stiff prayers that we offer up. He's right. They don't have to be so formal. He says, don't be irreverent. I'll double down on that. I still hear, big man upstairs and Jesus is my bro and all that. I know that a lot of times it comes from good places, but it just makes my skin crawl. We have to remember who we're talking to and through whom. Prayer. Daily reading. These are easy ways to meditate on God's word. We sing a song, Take Time to Be Holy. If we've actually done that, right? It's meditation. We're progressing as a Christian. We're making good use of the time that God has given to us. Verse 16 now, keep a close watch on yourself. Paul tells Timothy, again, depending on the version that you're reading, to take heed. I don't know if anybody's ever told me to take heed. I don't know if I've told anyone to take heed. But I have been told to be careful, to observe, to take note, to keep a close watch. That's all that means. How does one take heed? Let's look at some things that you shouldn't do really quick. Don't neglect your spiritual development. Right? You wouldn't let your pets go without food and water. You wouldn't let your plants go without food and water. Throw kids in there too, I guess. Right? Be careful about what we're feeding our soul. It too, guess what, is a living thing. Don't neglect your brethren, your siblings, if you will, your siblings in Christ. If you've never done anything, if you've never been there for your brother or sister in Christ, are you really a brother or sister in Christ to them? How else? Don't neglect opportunities. We often talk about God opening a door, right? But there's no guarantee how long that door is going to stay open. You ever hold a door for somebody when it's cold outside and they just take, hustle up. Walk through that door. Get to work for God. Glorify Him in everything. Don't neglect your gifts. Anything for God's purpose that's easy for you to do is a spiritual gift. Again, anything that you can do for God's purpose that's easy for you to do is a spiritual gift. Now, if somebody has to ask you to use it, that's neglecting your gift, right? That's the opposite of maturity. If you know something has to be done, but somebody has to ask you to do it, don't do that. Take heed. So you can take heed, all right, by not neglecting your spiritual development or your brethren or the opportunities that God has given you or gifts. That's making good use of your time. That is progressing as a Christian. Paul tells Timothy to not only take heed to himself, but the doctrine as well. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Jesus says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. That's frightening. In fact, he says lying is his character. He doesn't say it's in his character. He says it is his character. In fact, he calls the devil the father of it. Why would we ever want to serve someone like that? One word, and sin enters the world. You will not surely die. And I wonder if that's how false doctrine is often presented. I don't know if it's some big sweeping overhaul of what we read in the scriptures. Maybe it's a small tweak. Permission to do something that God has already told you not to do. Friends, we are not strong enough to take on the devil by ourselves. He's cunning. He was there from the beginning of creation of human beings. Why would we think that we could take him on ourselves? We have to enlist God in every single battle. We've got to be careful about false doctrine. I don't know if false doctrine is much of a problem for older generations. You ever try to get somebody over a certain age to do something new? It ain't happening. And I guess if there's a benefit to being stuck in your ways, this is surely that. But it is going to be a problem for my kids. It's going to be a problem for the generations after. Rob has taught a lesson about believing in God and believing God. Those are two totally different things. We're commanded to do both. I think Adam and Eve obviously believed in God. They didn't believe God. That's the danger of false doctrine. That's how sin entered the world. It's a small, small tweak. And because of that, Paul tells Timothy to take heed to doctrine. Finally, he tells Timothy to continue. And honestly, this might be the hardest command or instruction of it all. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's hard because from the earliest ages, we've been groomed. You work hard and you can stop. You do this and then you can quit. Just get through this and quit. Then it translates to adulthood. You work hard and then you can retire. Then you can just quit. But you don't really retire to service to the Lord, do you? That's Paul's charge to Timothy. Keep going, to get better, progress, continue. Are you progressing? Just a few things we looked at this morning. Studying, encouraging others. Friends, we have to serve as Christians. That's our job. What are you meditating on? Have you already drifted off? I've gone over my, it's a long sermon for me. Persisting. Maybe you can do all these things. Can you continue to do it time and time again? I know that people don't like, not people, I know that Christians don't like when I say things like this, but I personally feel like being a Christian is difficult. I do. I think that doing whatever you want to do is easy. I think not doing what you know you should is easy. Sin is easy. Laziness is easy. Progression is not. Discipline is not. Anything worth having takes discipline. So I think it's a good time for us to take a look and see how we've done. Are we progressing as a Christian? For those not familiar with my preaching style, every single sermon that I do is a look inward. It's a lesson that I think that I need, somewhere that I feel is inadequate. I have worshiped here at least 800 times. That's at minimum. Like we know, like it's multiply that by two or three times. It's thousands of times. What can I show for my service to the Lord? What can you show for your service to the Lord? Are you any better? I was probably up here around this time last year. Are you any better from the last time that I preached? changed? Are we progressing as a Christian? If we can help you in any way, please come forward while together we stand and sing.